Well, no, because now.
Oh,
we're
for fuck's sake, shut up. I need to start.
Go.
Go.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple, and there's actually been some news for once, which is rather nice. We like that a lot. Starting straight off, we've had a review. Thank you very much. To O'Hara MJ from the United States. He gave us a review. He said, this used to be a great show until the blighter that runs it changed the set so he'd look like a BBC anchorman. Cheers. Seriously, this is the best Mac podcast out there because it doesn't take itself seriously. And if you'd have been witness to what's been going on for the setup, you'd know that was the truth. And Ewan does a great job, even if he constantly mispronounces Legos. Don't get me started. I'll block you.
Maybe there's more than one company, and you're talking plural.
And the guests are top-notch, and I think that includes you lot. And aww, talking of the guests, what a bunch we've got this week. We've got full to the gunnels because there's so much to discuss. Joining me to start off with, top left, Adam Christensen. We got him out of bed, but he's here.
That's me. Hey.
How's it going, bud?
Morning.
No more fires.
Evening for you guys.
Are the fires all quelled down? And?
Oh, yeah. That passed a long time ago.
Excellent. And you're all safe as well, which is good.
Yeah, we got amazing firefighters out here. They did an awesome, awesome job, and everybody involved kept everybody safe. It was great.
Excellent. Next to him, it's Jeff Gamut. Click the wrong button there. Never mind. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. And no fires here, as it should be.
Good man. Next to him, Kelly Gamont. How's it going, girl?
Good morning. I'm not too bad. How about you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Not too bad at all. We've had a bit of a torrid start to it all, but we're here now. Excellent.
And that's what matters.
Have you not been going to... I'm surprised you're here and not down to App Camp for Girls at WWDC, or...?
Well, two of us are there. Gene McDonald is there, and Natalie Austin, who is the primary developer. Both of them are down there. I didn't have a ticket or financing to do it this year, so I didn't make it. But next year, once I'm an awesome developer, which we're going to talk about later.
All right.
Then I'll probably be there next summer.
Good. From what I've seen of Jean McDonald, she's drinking heavily and singing a lot.
That would be Jean McDonald, yeah.
Jean rocks.
She does. She's in a band. So, like, she officially is a person who can get away with saying so.
Okay, fair enough. Next to Kelly, going in a zigzag just to confuse the new boys. It's Will Green. How you doing, bud?
Oh, very well. Thank you very much.
How nice beard.
Do you like it?
Yes. Will, of course, is our lunar expert.
I am lunar. I am a lunar expert.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Excellent. What phase of the moon are we in this week?
I think we're about 9 days past a new moon, I think.
Right, okay. Now, we did have a couple of complaints about your last excursion into the lunar field, mate.
Oh, did we? Oh.
Yeah. But to be fair, they weren't aggressive. They were just saying you were a complete twat.
Well, I'll take it aggressive. On the chin. I don't actually believe it. They do know that, don't they?
I don't know, mate. Some of the people that write in, they reckon the Starship Enterprise is really coming back for them. So, no, I have no idea. Just bear in mind, if you do write a letter of complaint in, it's entertainment. Just take it with a pinch of salt. Next to him, John F. Braun.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.
For you guys, well, first I brought I have my Apple mug here.
Good man.
With a healthy dose of coffee. But I bought a webcam just to be on this show. I usually don't do video. Just audio. So.
Yeah, no.
Give me a chance to get a new toy. And I actually think I'm going to trade it in here because it's killing my processor.
Yeah, you've got to get the Logitech C920, mate. That's beautiful as a webcam.
No, this is the 920.
Oh, it is the 920.
The problem is the 920, from what I understand, first off, it's not officially supported by OS X, although it does work. But they have a 930, which has, from what I've read, hardware compression in it. So rather than processor.
Onboard H.264.
Right. So in theory, instead, because I think what's happening now is that I'm getting lower resolution because the processor is doing all the work instead of the camera. So I think I'm going to trade it in, and I think I can get a full refund because on the website, on the Amazon site, they misrepresented it and say that this camera does have hardware compression, but it does not.
Oh, right, okay. But you're going to get a brand new Mac out of it as well.
Just say yes.
Yeah,
someday.
No, it's not going to happen. Yeah, it's never going to happen. Oh, bless you. Next day, Michael Johnston.
Hey.
Hello. Going? It's good, man. You?
Pretty good. It's National Donut Day in the U.S., but...
Really?
I was going to go out and get a donut before the show, but then I saw the... I rolled out of bed. I saw the email that we were starting a half an hour early, and I went, ugh. And I went and I started coffee, and I...
So that means that there must be riots and looting on the streets, because all the cops would be at Dunkin' Donuts, no?
No,
well, not here.
It's the opposite, right? Because the like Dunkin' Donuts and Krispy Kreme are giving away one free donut, so it's peace and love and happiness.
Oh, everyone's got the sugar love.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
The sugar.
I'm all distracted by bacon maple bars now. I'm sorry.
Donuts. I gotta drive over to Danny's Donuts now.
Do you get 13 donuts over there, or do they give you a proper dozen?
It depends where you go.
I think, so you're supposed to get 13, aren't you? Because it's a bakery product.
They call it a baker's dozen.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't do it. They do it with bagels over there, but they don't do it. Enough about the donuts.
That's going out for a donut today, have twos, that you're having one for me.
We got loads to get through today, so let's not mess around too much. But the one thing I do want to do before we start is talk to you about the bash, because the bash is coming up. It is the 11th and 12th of July, 11th for the curry, 12th for the bash itself. Curry tickets are going thick and fast, so if you're leaving it till the last minute, I think you won't get a curry ticket in 3 weeks if you're not careful. So if you do want a curry ticket, get that. It's a £10 deposit. What we're going to do is all pile into the event room at the back of Milan's Kismet restaurant, and he's going to serve us up some starters, and there's beer flowing and drinks. And then at the end of the night, when we get the bill, all the deposits will go towards the bill. It'll come off, and then we'll just split the bill between however many people are there. It'll be a great night. It was a really good night, and the food there is unbelievable. Anyone who's been will tell you it's stunning. And even Greeny is coming for the curry night, and he will attest then that it is good, because he hasn't tried it yet either. And go on, mate.
Thing is, though, you've put me in a position that if I say it's good, well, that's a bad thing. So I'm going to have to say it's rubbish.
No, because I said that AFTAB was good.
Yeah, but you say your place is the best in the world.
Yeah, I do.
And I say that my place is the best in the world.
Right, that's fine. So you can still do that. But I said AFTAB was good, and all you've got to do is say it's Kitten's good if it is. So there you go. No worries. And on the 12th of July, it's the bash. It's all day.
Hold on.
Well, hang on. Let me finish the ad first.
One of them's
hang on. Let me finish the ad first. The 12th, it's an all-day event. It's down at a local village called Water Orton. It's in B46 area code of Birmingham. So if you want a hotel, look for B36 or B46. And it's £25, but we're pretty close to having a sponsor, I think. So the tickets will go to £20 instead of £25 if we get a sponsor. And everyone who's paid £25 will get a fiver on the day to get their money back on that. So if we do, as I did promise. Anyone who's under 16 is free of charge. And when you come... all of your entertainment, all your beer, all your food, everything that you do that day is absolutely free of charge as well, because you've contributed to the event. It's like a Christmas hamper type thing. We're all just paying for the day, and it's a brilliant, brilliant venue, a brilliant, brilliant day. There's a very special quiz coming this year, not the gamer quiz, a different one, so you'll enjoy that. Book your tickets now, britishtechnetwork.com/bash tickets. Like I said, the bash itself, we can do up to 200 people, so I think you can get your tickets as you go there. The curry, we're limited, and you will be struggling. We've got 50 spots available, and you will be struggling if you leave it for 3 weeks. So please, get your ticket for the curry at least ahead of time, because they'll be going thick and fast. Right, we've had a lot happen. It's a keynote this week. First of all, before we go to the specifics, thumbs up or thumbs down on the keynote? Who thought it was good? Who thought it was
good? I give it a thumbs up.
We got it up.
Thumbs up.
Up. Greeny, do you want to spoil the party or not?
Well, I don't know. It was a bit boring, wasn't it?
It's for developers.
No, I mean,
well, I know, but developers aren't boring. I mean, we're all sort of developers here, aren't we? But
no.
It was slightly dull, I think.
Yes.
Mate, when they released a new computing language, I'm sitting there, I said, this better be friggin' English, otherwise I'm still not happy. My hello world is still in beta, as Jody Mac says. No, I thought it was really good, actually. Even as a, I'm not a cynic for Apple. I'm a realist with Apple when it comes to it. And I thought it was a good keynote. I think they've done two back to back now that have been absolute stormers. Because I did say a year ago, what a pile of shite. I said it was crap a year ago. They hadn't done anything that was earthquakey, and I think this time they did.
Yeah, Ewan, though, I mean, in like, right, okay, so your top three best moments from the keynote, as in products, what would you say they are?
I really like the look of Yosemite. I thought that was excellent. I've heard developers say that they've installed it and it's glitchy and slow, but it's a beta, isn't it? Beta 1. Maybe even alpha, if they were rushing. And I thought some of the features in it were great. I was disappointed that they stole a few of the things. The updates to iOS 8 looks really cool. It's not enough to get me back to an iPhone yet. And I was dead impressed with the with Swift. I thought that could be... I don't understand development, but talking to developers that were at the Elmer event, they were dead excited about it. The bit of code that they showed where they took like 5-10 lines and reduced it down to one line of code, they were over the moon with that. How difficult it is to relearn it, I'm not entirely sure, though. But those are my three big things. There you go. Stuff you.
No, that's fine. Thing is, though, they're pulling it away from cross-platform development, aren't they? So for a developer, you develop it in this new Swift language.
What?
To then uh-huh. redevelop it in code for Android or another platform, you have to redo the whole thing. Where previously, it wasn't that different, was it? Objective-C was applicable to both platforms.
Do you think that's what they're doing then? Do you think they're looking for a kind of stonewall effect or you know, walled garden and tie people in?
Absolutely. I mean, they don't want... So they make you develop your code for iOS, and that's that. And so the developer then has to redo the whole thing for a different platform. It's slightly narrow-minded, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, but that's always been the case.
So, okay, so my take is that Apple was looking at the tools that they had for software development, and they realized that they had hit a brick wall where they could not make code more efficient, but it needed to be more efficient. And they already bought hardware, so why not develop their own app development system, their own language, that tailors to the hardware they're making, so everything can be potentially as optimized as it possibly can be. And I think that's really where they were going with this.
Well, they say that it's faster than Objective-C, right? Mm-hmm. In many cases, I'm sure. Maybe not all mm-hmm. cases. But I think also one of the biggest things about Swift, and it's neat for someone like me who has very little actual programming experience. I've done some PHP. But when I did actually look into doing some Objective-C, I started playing with it, and it took me way longer than I ever expected to just do a Hello World sort of thing. And some of the stuff that they talked about outside of the main keynote in one of the sessions, I think it was the main session, was the interactive help that you can get. So typically when no matter what language it is or no matter how good you are, you're typically going to have another spot on your screen where you're looking at documentation, because every once in a while you need to figure out what this function does or what it spits out. And so in the actual documentation for Swift, so not only do you get just what the methods and all that stuff does, you also get examples, which is great, but you also get probably one of the most important things that a developer is going to use, which is like a scratch pad. So when you look into a new method or a new way of doing something, typically you're going to say, okay, I think I understand how this works, but I want to go off and I want to test it. So you kind of make a scratch file and you play with it a little bit and just make sure you understand the live code being executed as
yeah,
it typed it
that's
out,
right,
you get
yeah.
those benefits within the help files. So I think that in addition to the speed and everything, I think it makes it a lot more approachable for people to develop on iOS and Mac OS X, which is, of course, a huge thing for Apple because they want more developers developing cool apps.
Yeah.
Right.
And C, Objective-C is old language. I mean, Objective-C mm-hmm. was kind of adapted from C, and it's been around forever, and it has a lot of baggage. And just like Apple does with their software, they realize at a certain point, we've got to start from scratch and build the thing that makes sense for the technology we have now, not the technology we had 10 years ago.
John, go ahead.
Here are some of the important things to me about the development environment. So I think, so first off, I'll admit this, and don't hate me for it, but I've developed in C, mostly in Visual Studio, Windows, and I don't care what anybody says, Visual Studio and .NET is still an excellent development environment.
I will agree with you. I did C#.NET and ASP.NET development for 6 years, and their IDE platform and everything is great.
But I've done Microsoft C before Visual Studio came out. So I've done this for quite a while here. And to me, but here's some of the most important things I got from the keynote, and I think they explained it well. So one, there was one example where, if you don't know what design patterns and all these things are, it may not have seemed very important, but when he showed it, I think it hit home for most people. So he showed four lines of code doing something. And then he said, here's the four lines of code in Objective-C. Guess what? You can do the same thing in one line of code.
That was it, yeah.
Swift. To me, that's killer. So they really thought it out to make, so you're doing more work by writing the same amount of code or same number of lines of code.
Yeah.
But it's still got to be object-based, hasn't it?
Suggested. Well, I'm sorry. The second thing is that he showed, oh, guess what? Now, the problem with C, and I believe by extension, Objective-C, C is a good language because it lets you do whatever you want. The bad news is that C lets you do whatever you want. That is why you have things like go to fail, if you folks remember that, and some other things. C lets you do stupid things because it trusts the developer knows what they're doing, and sometimes they don't. Or it just doesn't catch it, like go to fail. If someone had reviewed that code, they would have got it. Or the compiler, if you set it up right, would have said, hey, you're doing something that's really not that safe. He showed another example. He said, in Swift, you just can't do these things. It's impossible. So to me, that's another plus. And then the third thing that Michael suggested is that you're getting the benefits of both a compiled language, but then it's almost interpreted in the playgrounds, and that you don't have to first write the code and then run it to see what happens. You can interactively, and to me, that was a really powerful demonstration where he showed, oh, I'm going to type some code, and then, oh, I'm going to see what it does right now. That makes it more efficient too, I think. So I think people are going to be writing apps quicker and also better apps that are not going to take down the whole system or have
that's the key point for consumers right there, right? Better apps that are less crashy, apps that don't do bad things. That for the rest of us, that's why we care about something like Swift, and that's why it's important that Apple's doing it.
Do you think it's one of those products that's going to fly or die? I mean, it'll either take off and everyone will love it, or everyone will go, oh, what the hell, when they actually get into it.
Yeah.
I think so.
Like a lot of new programming languages. There's tons of new languages being created all the time, but you'll notice even for the web, PHP is still, I think, the most popular currently. And there's been a lot of attempts to replace that because it's definitely not the best language. I don't think that's out there. There's a lot better ones, but
it's approachable, certainly.
Yeah.
Now one of the things that I think is great that Swift has going for it is that you can mix and match your Swift with your Objective-C and your C right now, which is good. So that means that developers can gradually get into it. Of course, it doesn't work with other platforms, right? And Apple has said that the language is not finalized. So as soon as I heard about this new language, I thought, I really hope that they have a lot of functionality in there, that developers don't continuously run up against a wall when someone has decided, okay, I'm going to take the time to try and bring myself into the Swift world and start doing things that way. And every time they try and do something, I hope they don't run up against a wall, because with a new language, maybe they haven't thought of all the things that one might want to do. But they have said that it's not finalized yet, that they're not providing source code support yet in terms of saying that it will be compatible as things move on, but they do have binary support. So anything that you have compiled and does run, it will continue to run. But as soon as you jump in there, make one little change, then it's possible that something may break based on changes that they're making to the language as they go. So it's interesting. And then the one thing I wanted to mention that just to give a sense of what the developers were thinking at WWDC. I was talking to Dave Hamilton yesterday, and he was saying that some of the developers were a little bit concerned about the way that they declare variables. And before, it's been that you have to very explicitly say what type of variable you're creating, whether it's an integer or a string or a float or what have you. The cool thing about Swift is that you just say, here's my variable. Here's what I want it to be. You just put the thing into the variable. You don't have to define it, which is great. And especially for somebody like me who's worked with something like PHP, where you just cram something into a variable, it's a lot less code
to
write.
That's got to be massively contextual, though, hasn't it?
I'm not sure. I'm not a huge programmer, so I'm not sure.
No, but I mean, just by sheer nature of the fact that it's got to recognize the association and application,
that's got to be massively contextual,
which is where I would have thought object stuff tends to, it would get a benefit from that, but I think it would also be a fall down, as John was saying, about the fact that at least C lets you do what the hell you want.
Yeah, and they were concerned that they may put something into a variable and it may interpret it as one thing and it may not be another. I think that there's probably not going to be a huge as big of a deal as they think it may be with it interpreting variables incorrectly, because there are tons of languages out there that already do that. And I assume that there will be a way to explicitly say what a variable will be, although they haven't said whether you can do that. But I don't know how geeky you guys get on the show, so I'll yield that.
Well, based on the complete lack of knowledge from at least two of us, not a lot. Well, Greeny plays up to a lack of knowledge. He's far more clever than I am.
No, I think it's a good thing, Michael. As long as it's handled properly, because I've seen in C, the problem is if you define a variable one way and then another part of the code, you interpret it as another type, then you get very strange things happening. So
it's their equivalent
what
of
a lot of people had to
Thunderbolt,
learn.
Isn't it?
It's their equivalent of Thunderbird.
Thunderbolt. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Apple's like equivalent of their own system.
Yeah, it's a hardware standard that nobody else is going to take on board and going to make it a complete pain in the arse for everybody else to work
on
with.
There.
I've got to disagree again, Greeny, because I'm afraid that Thunderbolt, I look for Thunderbolt stuff now. There's loads more stuff out there available, and there's loads of stuff that I'm really interested in getting hold of. The thing that pisses me off about Thunderbolt is the frigging cost. Because, I mean, either Apple are coining it or people are taking the piss because they know that Apple will get the reputation for coining it, because it's vastly, vastly, vastly overpriced.
Well,
did you see they're going to do Thunderbolt audio?
Providing this rubbishy stuff for Thunderbolt, it's because they only sell a couple of units a week, isn't it? I mean, and it'll die. Like, it's going to die. It's
going
to. I mean, it's, for me, when it comes to computers, standardization is the key, isn't it? Whether it's either software or hardware, you need a standardized platform across both PC and Mac.
No, you don't.
Just the way it is. And Apple will not get that. They'll never do it. They've never done it, and they never will do it.
Well, Thunderbolt.
Because standardization often equates to mediocrity. You got to make compromises, and everybody's got to agree, and that never happens.
There you go.
But I mean,
USB 2 is a standard that everybody
and it
has
sucks.
Reached.
But
and
the standard. No,
Greeny. Why did USB become a standard? It's because Apple said, screw this, we'll try something new. And then everyone followed.
Yeah,
USB
Apple did
jammed it into every iMac that was at USB, whether you wanted to or not.
There's Thunderbolt adapters for Windows, though.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a Thunderbolt PCIe card.
And there used to be SCSI cards for PCs as well, for Windows machines.
Oh, SCSI. If Dr. Happy Mac was here, he'd have wood now. God, he gets all glowy when you talk about SCSI. I hope you're well, DHM. I hope he's coming to the bash as well. I've sent him a message, but he hasn't replied yet. So
I used to do hardware support for a company that made SCSI devices, and one of the actual categories we filed the problems under was SCSI voodoo. My hand to God, because sometimes it was really IT crowd. Did turn everything off, turn it all on again. I had to say things to people, like, as tech support, you're calling me for an answer, and I have to say things to you, like, scanners prefer to be at the end of the chain, so turn everything off and rejigger it, and then turn it all back on again and see if that works.
Yeah, that's the other thing about Thunderbolt, is there's a lot of devices out there that are one input, no output. So mm-hmm. there's only half a bus, if you like, on it. And that pisses me off because they've got to be at the end of the chain. But it's no use if you've got three frigging devices that want to be at the end of the chain.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
That's a cost thing, right? I mean, just because each one of those little connectors is much more costly. Yeah, so.
but it limits your scalability.
You're there forsaking it because of a space concern or something.
Yeah, but you're limiting your scalability straight away. I mean, it's
right.
You've got to have at least somewhere to go with it. And the Seagate thing I love to bits, don't get me wrong, but it has to go last. Well, if I'm using it with a Thunderbolt display, that's a pain in the ass because the Thunderbolt display's got to be last. And I've got two one-put input devices with a single bus out of the MacBook Pro. That's one of the major reasons I want to get a Retina MacBook Pro. I've got to say, I love my 6 terabyte MyBook Thunderbolt. That is absolutely stunning and so fast. Love it to bits.
So does everybody agree with me then?
No one agrees with me, Greeny.
Not a bit.
Yeah. John F. Braun might agree with you.
I think you'd. The way you're talking now, you think it actually is a bit of a pain in the arse, isn't it? Thunderbolt is a pain in the arse. And this new software platform that they've built.
No, but you're saying it's pointless because it's proprietary. Don't change your story now, Greeny. You're saying it was pointless because it's proprietary, not because it's a pain in the arse. Mm-hmm. Every technology's got
the same thing. Because it's proprietary, it's a pain in the arse. Because for a developer out there trying to code. For Android, who are than iOS, cards on the table. That's true, isn't it? They want to save time. Apple are building barriers for developers to keep them porting their software to different platforms. Instead of sort of opening up the gateway, opening up the platforms, or, they're building barriers, and it's just mad. So there you are.
But I don't see any advantage to them doing that, and I'll give you one data point during the keynote where I think that was pretty obvious. When you look at the percentage of iOS people that they showed that are on the latest release versus the chaos that is Android...
No, I got a problem with that.
Well, the thing is, the problem with the Android world is you have all this fragmentation of all these different versions here targeting. I would much rather target one or two versions of operating system than 6 or 7. To me, I see that as one of the big issues with Android is, are you talking whatever silly candy name they give it? But you have so many different versions out there that as a developer, I see that as a huge task.
Yeah, but
you
I think
just abandon, say, I'm not going to support 6 versions
Apple lost me there, and I've got to say I was very, very positive at the start. I made a few jokes and quips, but actually a lot of what I was saying on Twitter was very positive about what was going on, but they lost me when they started hammering into Android. And if the best thing you can say about your product is what's wrong with your competitors, there's something wrong with your product. And The graph that they put up, I was livid when he put up the adoption rate on iOS versus Android, because it's not you're not comparing an apple with an apple or a pear with a pear. What you're talking about there is a single user system that's identified on a single pre-made piece of hardware for that operating system, against something which is an open source and easily changeable pieces of hardware of operating system that then. Carriers are frigging out beyond belief that you can't even put your hardware out. You can't physically put on the latest version of Android, no matter what, because the carriers have messed with it for so much and the manufacturers have messed with it so much. It is not a direct comparison. What Tim needed to say there and what he would have had a great deal of respect out of me for is if he stood up and said, right, adoption rates for iOS are at 97%. You won't get another operating system that will give you that kind of adoption rate. And... that's what you want as a developer. You want to know that you're developing for the latest operating system and it's going to be used on the widest number of possible devices. And that's what Apple's giving you. And that's what he meant to say, and that's what he should have said. He didn't need to go for the cheap shots at Android. He pissed me off no end there, I have to say.
I have a theory on why he did it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing this as a defense, just an observation. That keynote at WWDC, while it's for developers, it's also not for developers. It's for the media. And you have to say things in certain ways for the media.
That's an American thing.
To get your point across. And so doing that Android comparison, while a cheap shot, that's, I think the way that Tim needed to say what he did to get the point across to the knuckle draggers.
Yeah, I think he could have referenced Android along with Windows Phone, etc., and he could have said we've got the highest adoption rate for a new operating system, and I think he wouldn't have lost anything. But the comparison of all the crap that's wrong with your competitors is a very Americanistic process of marketing. It's not something that the British like at all.
And you're right.
To be fair, that keynote was designed in Cupertino.
No, I know, but the thing is, he's selling to a world market, and I don't know a lot of cultures that take being rude about your opposition as a positive. You wouldn't find it in Italy, you wouldn't find it in Germany, you won't find it in China, that's for sure, or Japan, which are big markets. They're very respectful communities, and I can't think that he's done a great deal there for the positive image of Apple in those countries. He's done a lot for the positive image maybe in America, but America's an infinitesimal market in comparison to the rest of the globe now.
Which is true, but the thing that I think he was doing was, I think in a lot of other places, and this is just me guessing, but I think in all those other countries, most people didn't sit and watch the keynote. So what those people got out of it was the reporting, whether it was from sites in the U.S. or it was something that, you know, news organizations in other countries were actually talking about. Apple came out today and released they talked about the new operating system that's coming for phones. They talked about the new operating system that's coming for computers. And they talked about this new programming language so that nerds can do nerd things. And that's really all that you people need to know about what's happening here. And so I don't know how much of that stuff actually translated, because primarily the people who are watching the stream, primarily, not exclusively, but mostly, are going to be in the U.S. And again, it's American for us to go, because that's what Americans do. Am I proud of that? No, but it's the way things are. And I thought it was kind of funny the way a couple of times they were sort of making fun of like the people who didn't buy iPhones. Like, we all have those friends, those green bubble friends. You know, when he said things like that, I thought that was kind of funny. And it was sort of nice to see some confidence behind them, that they felt that they were in a position that they could take a shot like that. You know, we all have those green bubble friends who bought something that wasn't an iPhone by mistake. And now, you know, now when you text them and da da da, like, so to me, some of that was funny. I didn't feel like they overly hammered on it.
Ugly in the chat room, just to come back to you there, Kelly, Ugly in the chat room says he's in the Netherlands and he watched it live. So,
right, but like I said, primarily, I know there was a faction in London who was watching it live.
Oh, yes.
It just mostly the actual goings on in that room are for Americans. And, you know, the distilled version of what happened in that room is what goes out to the rest of the world.
That's totally wrong. That's totally wrong.
Go on, Greeny. Let her have it, mate.
What country had more people watching the stream live than the United States?
Well, to be fair, the United States, right? You know, I don't mean this as a cheap shot. Is a diminishing power by the day, almost. And you know they're going to be from a
dude. Stick to women's cycles on the lunar cycle.
Yeah,
please,
no,
mate.
No, but
Jesus Christ.
From a financial point of view, America currently number one, but they're shortly going to be taken over. By China.
What does that have to do with how many people watched the live stream?
The rest of the world was a bigger live stream audience than the US, I think, is what Greeny's saying.
Well, they are, but
yeah,
did they watch?
I think,
live stream.
Right, let me...
you've only got to interrupt Greeny once and he's lost. That's it.
No, but...
All it is, once it is to derail him?
I appreciate what you're saying. It's about time, I suppose. With Steve, when Steve Jobs was here, I suppose, he understood the significance of the Apple brand worldwide.
Kelly, let him finish.
Kind of shot?
Kelly, let him finish his point, please.
Aren't we slightly missing the point that so we've got we've got America, and you're saying, but Apple iOS used to be the biggest selling brand in the world, you know, when it comes to mobile phones. But now they're not; they're second to Android, and and also, I suppose, to Samsung. Is it Samsung Taiwanese or Chinese?
Korean.
Korean, yeah.
Korean. Okay. So Korean. Apple have become second now to a different country. And I suppose the point I'm trying to make really is, instead of trying to close ranks and keep it totally US-centric and totally Apple-centric, it's time that Apple sort of stepped back and thought, actually, you know, we're not the biggest in the world anymore. We need to open up, and to some levels, we need to share and make it easier for developers to develop stuff for our particular platform as well as Android. And, you know, it's a ridiculous situation now that iOS and Android are total opposites. Shouldn't they work together and find a common platform?
I don't know if that's going to happen, Green. But yes, love would be far better, so definitely.
Explain to me how this is any different, that if you're going to bring Steve Jobs into it, Steve Jobs was the one who hung a banner in Moscone that said, "Microsoft, start your copiers." How is that different?
It's not different. I think there's a bit of rose-tinted specs going on there with Greeny, but I think the American way has been of slagging off your opposition in advertising has been around for a lot longer than me. So it goes back to the 40s and 50s. The 50s pretty much when it started, wasn't it, for you guys? So with the
probably,
TV advert.
Lots of rah-rah.
You got a lot of cynicals and a lot of people being abusive because they could get away with it. But I think if you look at the global market for American products in the 50s, you were very much selling to yourself. Well, at the moment, you're not, because mm-hmm. actually what you're selling to probably outnumbers you tenfold in the rest of the world, and the rest of the world doesn't respond that well to that kind of stuff. I think you've got to be careful that any marketing you create now is not being created for your own market anymore. It's being created, especially if you're going to start shipping your adverts globally, which Apple are doing now. We get the same adverts as you mm-hmm. do predominantly. Then they've got to be careful how they tone those.
But the ads are different than the note. I mean, the ads are dramatically different. There was somebody on, Jeff, help me out. Who was it yesterday that said,
"Oh, you're thinking of the Business Insider piece where they totally bagged on Apple for their ads that come across more like inspirational pieces as opposed to spec lists."
But I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is, The advertisements that they put out globally, so they've therefore got to be careful about how they market themselves globally now, because mm-hmm. they can't run a keynote that runs down their opposition and expect the rest of the world to go, "That's a good way of doing it," because a lot of people believe that.
I don't know if it's fair to call a WWDC keynote like global marketing for Apple.
It is if you broadcast it, mate.
Adam on that.
It was a global outlet, mate. You had a lot of people watching that feed, I'm awfully sure.
You had a lot of Apple fans and nerds watching it, and maybe some media folks. But
they're
talking to developers at that event. They're talking to the people in the room, and they happen to be broadcasting it because there's people out there that want them to do that. I see mm-hmm. your point, yes, but
I'm an Apple fanboy. I'm a realist, but I'm an Apple fanboy.
But I think when they're crafting that keynote, they're thinking more about their audience that's there than they are necessarily about the people that it's streaming out to.
Yeah, they're playing
naive.
To the room.
I mean, you can call me naive for
listen.
That, but I that's the gist that I take away with WWDC. That's why they had a guy writing code. And a lot of the media afterward went, "Oh, it was so boring. I didn't, you know, it was over our heads and it was technical." And I mean, the reason they're doing that is because, mm-hmm. you know, they would have left that out too if they were concerned about who was watching on the live stream.
Well, no,
they were playing
to
the room. Oh, and then as an added bonus, people who were not in the room could also watch, which is not the same thing, I don't think.
What else have we got? Yosemite. Yosemite came out.
Ooh.
I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It looked very clean.
Let me talk about it.
Very nice.
I'm disappointed in the naming. What was the other one? Oxnard?
Weed.
For that.
Weed. And weed.
And of course, weed.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if you're talking about the iconic places of California that get mentioned in the media, there's got to be OS X Compton coming.
Yeah.
Because that's in every friggin' movie associated with
everybody
LA.
Everybody thought that that's what it was going to be once they bought Beats Dr. Dre used to be part of the group NWA that released the album straight out of Compton. So
are you really going to get OS X Compton? I will have $100 with you right now if you say that there's definitely going to be OS X Compton.
And we'll get weed before Compton.
Oh yeah, hell to the no on OS X Compton, but that was the joke that went around. The other thing that was funny to me, speaking of people who are not from the United States who watched the live stream, I got feedback from a number of people who don't live here who all said, I didn't know that's how you pronounced Yosemite. So there was that I thought was sort of funny. It didn't even occur to me, obviously, that it would be anything else as a person who lives in the American West. I always knew that was how it was pronounced, so I thought it was funny that there were people like, well, that's how you say that. I had no idea.
Well, we grew up, we all know that because most of us grew up with Yosemite Sam.
That too.
Right?
Which I've decided, by the way, for everyone listening, I have decided, so remember with Lion and Mountain Lion, when people would talk about it before it was released, in the brackets, in all caps, it used to be redacted, and with Lion and Mountain Lion, people went to Roar-dacted. And then with Mavericks, people went to, in brackets, Tom Cruise. And so I want this one to be, in brackets, Sam Dacted.
Sam Dacted. I like that.
There was a nice tweet that I picked up that said, if you've got, now they've upgraded mail as well, is one of the mailboxes that you've got Yosemite spam. It was Barry Collins did that one. Very good.
That's kind
of
awesome.
As far as the new feature,
really
go ahead, John.
The one feature that I like, so one of the things that I observed, and I've seen this with Apple throughout its career, is they'll introduce something, and it's something that's not new, but they've refined it. And in this case, they did. So one thing that I thought was clever in how they presented it, again, I'll give you my spin here, is that other people have been doing this, but they're like, oh, you can't send large attachments in email. It's like, well, nobody really can. Most mail servers will barf on you trying to send a large file. But it's clever that they essentially included something that's been around for years, which is something like you send it, if any of you have used that, which is basically use HTTP in a browser to send a large file. And it uploads it to a server, and then you get a link to download the file.
That was pretty magical.
Really nice that they... Because before, I think you actually could blend it into a lot of email clients. So that I thought was nicely presented and a welcome feature.
I think that was brilliant,
I
John.
I hope that they... On the other hand, what aggravated me is, I don't know about some of you, but I actually abandoned one of my Gmail accounts because Mavericks, they so screwed up mail in the first couple of releases.
I use 4 Gmail accounts inside OS X Mail and on my iOS devices, and I've never had an issue.
Okay, I'm coming to California, and I'm going to have Adam lay hands on my laptop. Because this is
it every day.
The biggest nightmare I have ever had on my computer, hands down. And I started on an Apple II where the only options you had for color were shades of green, and this is by far the biggest headache I have ever encountered with my computer.
I think a lot of the problems with Gmail, though, on OS X maybe are a bit Gmail related as well. As I mean, the number of times that it wants for a second, for two-factor authentication because it's picked up a new IP or something that you're on, or a new MAC address, is a pain in the arse.
You're using an app-specific password?
With Google, I'm using the password that I put in for each account, and it keeps coming back saying,
you need to generate an app-specific password on the Google side when you do two-factor, and then you use that for your mail. You don't use your regular login. You create app-specific passwords if you're using two-factor.
Yeah, okay. But
the thing that I was the most excited about in Yosemite, Sam Dacted, is the handoff stuff with iOS. For me, that was super, super exciting for 97 reasons, most of which have something to do with the fact that I am one of the most easily distracted people on the planet. And so the fact that I can start something in one place and then finish it in another.
That was really cool.
Whatever order that goes in, if I start on my laptop and somebody comes to the door and, or a reminder comes up and I have to leave, but I need to finish that later on, I can come back to it anywhere. And to me, the other reason that that's exciting is not just because squirrel, but mostly because it tells me that for as much as Apple talks about post-PC, they're sort of doubling down on having on the people who have computers. Because a lot of people, I've talked about technologically being honest with yourself before on the show. And, you know, a lot of people, for their main computer, the needs that they have are more than adequately covered by an iPad. So the fact that they sort of admit that there are a lot of people out there who still need a computer, who still have a computer, but maybe also have some of these ancillary devices, to me was really, really exciting. For as much as they talk about post-PC, there's still a lot of PCs out there. And I think that this was a really good sign when people talk about macOS and iOS merging. I think this is the thing. I think this is as close as it's ever going to come to being the same, air quote, the same OS. I know they're the same flavor of operating system. It's just that one is a stripped down version of the other. I get that. But it was really nice to see that they were going to play more in conjunction with each other than just launching iTunes and backing up my computer, you know, backing up or a computer as a music source for stuff that I load up on my phone, and having them actually integrate with one another and being able to make that experience really seamless. I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I was really excited about all the messaging stuff, and even the phone call stuff is really cool. So if you you get a phone call on your on your phone, and you're just, you know, it's at the other side of the room or something, and it'll pop up on your Mac or on your iPad or what have you. Same goes with the your Green Bubble friends, so you can
just like
you know, get all of those conversations in your in iMessages, which is just awesome.
I'm so excited to be able to reply to people on my Mac, because like when I hear my phone go off and nothing happens in messages, I'm like, what does my brother want now? Yeah. You know, because there's like two or three people that's the case. And I'm like, what do they need? And so then I'll have to go find my phone and figure out what's the deal. Whoa. So I'm really looking forward to that. Mostly I'm curious how they're going to pull that off, like logistically on the back end, but that's just me.
Yeah.
iOS 8 was out there as well. Loads of tool features in that one. One of the integration between the two, like you were saying there. And there was the family thing as well. So now if you've got 6 Apple IDs in your family, they can share all of your stuff. Now I'm wondering, here's my thing. If I've got my account and I can share it with the other people in my household and they've got their own Apple IDs, do they get 5 installs as well?
No. I don't think so. I think the way, in my understanding, the way it works is you would set up yourself as the account, and then you sort of claim the other Apple IDs as being in your family, so up to a total of 6 people, and then everything's run at that point through your credit card. I don't think it matters where that stuff was purchased before. Once you've claimed them, then it's all in a pool, and you all share it. And so if your kid bought something or your wife bought something under her credit card and it's in her account, once you've claimed her account, then you'll have access to everything that she purchased. She'll have access to everything that you've purchased.
Yes.
But then from that point forward, your one master account is like the account for the family.
Each account is limited to 10 devices.
Is that still the case? I was going to say, I thought that restriction had been lifted.
So if an account's got 10 devices registered to it and you've got 6 accounts with 10 devices, you could theoretically have one app going to 60 apps. That would be cool.
Yes, that's probably the case.
And one of the things that really pisses me off the most is iTunes outward streaming home sharing. A home sharing is limited to your 5 authorized iTunes computers, and that's it. If I've got a computer and I want to use iTunes to broadcast to an Apple TV, why does it matter? Why does that computer have to be authorized?
Talk to the music industry and then
no, because it's got my music. It's got my MP3s, my home movies. I'm not talking about Apple's DRM stuff or anything like that. I can't work out why I can't use.
No, they're not yours. You're just.
It's well, the music so industry. Two things about that. First,
you own that.
Yeah, the methodology is the mechanics of it don't change regardless of the source of what you're trying to play. First of all, but second of all, one of the features that's coming out that didn't get attention at the note is peer-to-peer AirPlay. So the home sharing isn't going to matter as much as long as your source machine, source hardware, whatever that may be, iPhone, iPad, laptop, whatever, is near enough to Bluetooth to something else, so that like the Apple TV, so that you can AirPlay to it. It's not going to be dependent on the same Wi-Fi network anymore.
That's app based, because each app will each app will restrict. So if you here in the UK, if you've got Sky is our kind of broadcaster, our television broadcaster out here that's cable, their Sky Go application completely disables all of the mirroring options and all of the AirPlay options on the iPad when it's running.
Yeah. Well, Ewan, and I was going to say, taking your complaint one step further. I mean, why does DHCP get in the way when I'm trying to play my home videos?
That too.
You know, to a non-supported monitor and blocks and says you can't do this.
Even though it's your own video.
That's ridiculous. Totally. By the same token as Apple's, you know, five restriction. But that's DHCP technology just being the technology that it is and pushed through by those groups because they're so freaking paranoid that, you know, you're gonna copy something.
Yeah, exactly.
So my question is, now that you can put everything together as family accounts, once you do that, is it possible to undo that? Because this was the first thing I heard from a bunch of people was...
I believe so, too. You mean, like...
What if I get divorced?
Take someone out, like your,
yeah, or,
your kid,
or your kids move
turns
away.
18 and leaves home and goes off on his own.
Yeah. Somebody, you know, if I want to be the master of my own ID, like, yeah, how does that work?
Are you going to be able to take all that content with you? Probably not. I would guess not. You can leave, but you probably lose access to any of that family shared
content.
Well,
I would expect to lose access to the family stuff, but anything that I air quote purchased under my own account, I would like to be able to keep. So, you know, if I bought a bunch of, what is it, Smurf berries? If I bought a bunch of Smurf berries, but I want my account to be my own, do I get to keep the Smurf berries?
Probably not.
They'll probably have a limiting thing on there, right? So, you know how you can reset your all the devices that you have authorized every just
yeah,
once
you can
a year.
Wipe them out. Yeah.
It'll probably be something like that, where it's only once a year you can disassociate yourself from a family account and reassociate yourself, you know, to keep people from mixing and matching and just like, oh, I'm a part of their family now. I'm going to get all their apps real quick.
Yeah, and that would make sense. I hope that the merging, the collecting and the decollecting of all of this is something that got a lot of testing that they're really going to get right because... No.
I'm going to say right now,
I'm going to
be totally jacked. You're going
to
get in a group, and if you leave the group, you have no access to any of that stuff.
Yeah,
that,
it's not
the group. I'm going to predict that right now. I'll bet you.
I have a feeling you're right. I'm expecting that this is going to piss off a bunch of people, and they'll say, well, why did Apple even give me this feature? We were all using the same login before, and we were getting exactly what we're getting now.
Yeah.
Which is, we lose all our content when we really want to have our own account.
We shall see. Anything else that anyone really, really liked about the keynote that we haven't talked about yet?
Interactive notifications.
Oh, go for it, Michael. Yeah. What did you love about that? What gave you the hots over that?
Well, I mean, you don't have to jump out of the app that you're using now. You can just...
That sounded horrible.
Make it go.
Ooh. Because notifications is what fuels your life, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the young guy. Notifications just piss me off.
Right. Welcome to the rest of us.
Straight up a wall. We hates them, Precious. We hates them so.
There's just too many. Every app wants to have them. Yeah. I have so many apps. I go through the notifications thing. I'm like, why the F does this app even want notifications? Yeah. Like, why is it even asking me? This makes no sense.
Hey.
So they can send you some shit to advertise with. That's the key.
So did anyone get hot and bothered over the fact that apps are going to be able to share data and features now on iOS?
I think that's great.
Well, it is awesome.
No,
but
that's actually, I think, something that developers want because they...
Oh, I want it as an end user.
It has the potential for disaster. I think I see where you're going.
Well, that's the thing I was just about to say, because I saw that and I just thought to myself... That's like, we're going to have something really great for tea, darling. And then when you get it, it's just rice pudding. It's something that they're going to go about interaction with applications and that kind of stuff. And then when it comes down to playing, they go, oh, well, no, hang on. You can't have that bit because clearly that's a security issue and you can't have that bit. And I think it's going to be balked, to be honest.
I mean, that's a good thing that they're doing it in a very controlled way. And they took the time to figure it out, because you're not going to end up with, the kinds of things like you have on other platforms where there's apps just overrunning each other and crashing each other and causing all kinds of havoc, and you don't know what's going on with your system. Is it the system?
Right.
Is it the apps? Is it the, you know?
Yeah. So. I don't remember what apps it was, but something on my Nexus tablet, it was every time I launched it, it crashed. And I went to try and find out why, and I started looking at the reviews. And in the reviews, it said, if you have this in the background, then this app does nothing but crash. I'm like, what? So, yeah. What is this, Windows? I was really frustrated because I couldn't get it to work, and it wasn't a game or anything. It was something I actually wanted to use for, like, doing things. And it was totally not working for me, and it was because I had this other app that was, and I never got to the bottom of why, but it was lame, and I wished it had stopped. So I'm excited because this is the kind of thing that to me is a big enough opening that some unbelievably creative developer is going to find something awesome they can now do because of this, and it's going to be amazing. Just like when we first got the App Store, and it was, hey, you can build whatever kind of stuff you want to build and have your phone do that. It's not just web apps anymore. That was really cool. And as people learned creative things they could do with a camera and creative things they could do with the other stuff, like being able to go, here's a cool thing you can do with your thumb, because Touch ID is a thing that we're going to let other people try and use now. That stuff to me is really, really exciting because of the potential behind it. Because I know some super creative, unbelievably smart developers, and I cannot wait to see what they do once they get their hands on that.
Did you hear about that Indian guru?
Who develops phone apps?
Nope.
There's a punchline that's about to happen, right?
No, well, not really. I was listening to
I'm being set up.
News this morning.
Made
me laugh. This Indian guru, right, had set up his own religion, which I've tried to do myself a few times. Depends which way you want to think about it. But his family said he had died. But his followers said he was deep in meditation. And he's been deep in meditation for quite a while now. And they put him in a freezer just in case. We laugh. Which is rather jolly, isn't it? No, he's not dead. He's just deep in meditation. Just made me laugh. That's
so
all.
We'll freeze him and kill him.
Oh, that was the Amiga.
I think he was dead before.
Guru meditation on the Amiga? Wow.
Excellent. Thank you, Will.
John, you should be here every week.
But apparently he's worth a load of money. And so his family want him dead because, well, he is dead.
Because he's in a freezer.
No, the family haven't put him in the freezer. I think his followers have put him in the freezer because, as I say, they can't wake him up because he's so deep in meditation. But his family is saying, but no, he's dead, isn't he?
Well, he's definitely dead if he's in a freezer, mate. His meditation won't save him there.
Yeah, well, it depends. I don't know what level this meditation is at, but that's the deal. He's worth about 10 million quid, and his family want his money, obviously, but his followers say he's not dead, which is jolly, isn't it? I like it. If I'm dead, right, I would like people to say that I'm in deep meditation rather than dead. It's only when you start to smell, I suppose, that a question mark might.
Yeah, the lack of breath usually gives it away as well.
People don't really meditate. There you go. You're covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, Ewan. I know you've had complaints about my moon cycle thing. So no, I don't want to.
We didn't get any complaints. I was just joking.
Can we talk? The one thing I want to talk about before we finish up, because this is a big thing for me, and it actually to I think what I'm going to use is my pick if we're doing picks today. The big thing I came away from with the WWDC thing. Wait, what's Will trying to say?
Carry on. Don't dystope for Will, for Christ's sake.
if you step back and look at all the things that Apple announced in total at the keynote, and I'm not seeing a lot of people doing this, but something that I think I see and is really, really huge is what I'm calling sort of Apple separating data and services from their sources and branding these things as Apple experiences. And so what I'm talking about is I'm talking about things like HomeKit. I'm talking about HealthKit. I'm talking about all the changes in Safari or in Spotlight. Well, Safari as well, but mainly Spotlight search, where Apple is letting you do a Spotlight search and bringing in data from different web sources, be it Yahoo Weather or Wolfram Alpha or Wikipedia or Bing. And it's presenting it to you in an Apple branded way, right? It's a Spotlight search, but you're getting the data and information that you need, regardless of where the source is. And they're doing the same thing with opening up things like HealthKit. So if I have a Withings scale, or if I have a Fitbit, or if I have a Nike Fuel Band, or if I have Apple's new iWatch, if that comes out, it's not really going to matter where these devices are, a glucose monitor, you know, from some specialized system. It's all going to tap into and tie into an Apple-branded visual experience. I'm going to have the health app. They're doing the same thing with the home automation controls and things like that. So two big things at this keynote was, one is Apple is really opening up their platform or their operating system in ways they've never done before. But I think the bigger picture of the whole thing is they're doing it because they're now able to do it in a way where their devices and their technology are going to be that window. They're going to be your view into that data and information. And that's going to be an Apple, very crafted Apple branded experience for their customers.
And I thought it was really interesting that they were sort of out, like farming out some of that stuff. Like, they didn't build their own weather system. They went with someone else's, and but they're doing that in a bunch more ways than they did before. So I'm curious to see how that's going to work. But I really like the idea of the Apple experience. So I think I agree with you on that, Adam. It's going to be fun to watch how that expands.
Yeah, and on the search side too, Spotlight is a huge thumb in Google's face, and it's probably going to hit them, you know, in their bottom line to a certain degree too. If that really takes off and people are doing Spotlight searches and just happy with the data results that they're getting, because I've said this before, most of us, most users, I don't care necessarily where my data has become from. I know Google's become a verb and it's like a big thing for a lot of people, but really at the end of the day, if you think of why you like Google search so much, is because it gives you the data and information that you want. I don't really care if I'm doing a search in Spotlight. If I'm looking for information on Charles Darwin and it pulls up Wikipedia right there and I click on it and I never go to Google and I never see a Google ad or never go to a Google page, I'm fine with that. I just wanted that data or information, or if I'm looking for images or whatever it might be. And Apple's really doing that with Spotlight search. And it's, you know, was it John Martellaro, I think, wrote this up a little bit on the Mac Observer too. And it's a huge thing. And I think a lot of people aren't seeing it because Apple did it and sort of is doing it in a very subtle way.
Yeah, Apple.
Well,
is
I don't think it's a thumb, Adam. Google I think search. It's a middle finger.
There you go.
It doesn't matter where the data is coming from anymore. It's just I did my Spotlight search and I got everything that I needed.
This podcast and a lot of the others
Hello.
This podcast and a lot of the others is supported by the Network Union. We love these guys. They're absolutely brilliant. They donate a huge amount to the Patreon fund that we've got. And they also support you if you really want to. If you're a BT Broadband customer, these are definitely the people to get in touch with. They'll help you maximize your internal system, your internal WAN or LAN. And they'll also then help maximize your relationship with BT. You still keep that relationship with BT. There's no money exchanges hands with the Network Union through it. You're still paying your bill to BT as normal. But what they give you is an extra layer of support in between you and BT. They'll help you with your pricing. They'll help you with the characterization of your service and what maximizing what you've got. And I go on about this every week, but actually when it comes down to it, the best people to talk to are the Network Union. If you go to the sponsors page on britishnetwork.com/sponsors, you'll see a link there for Network Union. Click on that and they'll ask you for an email address. Give them the email address and I promise you, and it's one of the things that we checked out and it really is true, they won't do anything other than contact you with that email address. I think that's amazingly innovative. They're using it as a method of communication, not marketing. Wow. So they don't sell it on and they don't send you any crap afterwards. If you say no thanks, your email's just lost and deleted and that's the end of it. They don't pass it anywhere else. So you can be guaranteed you're not going to get a whole load of crap off them. So check out the Network Union because they're absolutely wonderful, wonderful people. And they help us. And without them, we couldn't do this show. They support us by giving money to the Patreon fund. And they also provide the lines in here to make sure we can do a live studio. It's a shame that live streams let us down badly today, but that's not us. According to the outfeed we got, we're streaming perfectly, so don't think of taking up any slack with Network Union because it wasn't them.
No, it's live stream.
It's live stream. It's an arse.
It totally is.
We asked for Friday the other week, and now we're all there, and we might get no money back. UK2 are also the people that support us. They give us the server that we come to you from. If you download our shows, we have unlimited bandwidth, which means that you're never going to not get our shows. And we also have unlimited storage, which means you can get every show we've ever published. Every show we've ever put out on the British Tech Network is on our server, and there's a few from the old Bagel Tech days as well, quite a few of them. So go to UK2 via our sponsors link again, and also while you're there, you get a whole pile of offer codes for buying domains, VPS, VPN, servers, all that kind of stuff, co-location services, and you'll get a load of refund. So check them out. They support us, and I've got to say, they're one of the nicest firms out there. Their tech support's brilliant. Loads of people keep sending out messages on Twitter saying how much they are. They love it. We've only had a couple of issues with people over the whole of the last 4 years, and both of those were just a case of misunderstandings, and once it's been sorted with a direct connection to our contact, they've gone, oh yeah, sorry, no worries, and it's all been straightened out. UK2 are brilliant. I can't say enough good about them. I always buy my stuff through them. I know Paul Wheatley buys all his customer stuff through them. They're well worth supporting. Thank you very much for your support. Right, have we got a cool thing? Adam, start us off.
Yeah, so I was mentioning, I had kind of had this thought process after WWDC, and I had a lot of ideas floating around in my head, and I knew I wanted to kind of get things down. And hopefully I haven't picked this in the past, but I'm going to pick iThoughts HD, which is like a mind map application, and it works both on the Mac and on iOS. And so when you're trying to work through a big thought process or just outline something, I find it really, really useful. I can grab my iPad, I can sit on the couch, and I can start just tapping out bubbles and connections. And it's got all the tools that you need. It's got some great themes that you can throw into it. And what I particularly like about it, getting back at this sort of continuity thing that Apple was getting at, I can save it out to my Dropbox. They have a new feature now where you can get it to sync between your documents, sync between your iOS devices and your Mac. So I can start working on it on my iPad sitting on the couch, and then I can get back up and go onto my Mac and then pick right back up where I left off. And then more importantly for me, it's got a ton of really great export features. So I can export it right out to OPML, which is an outlining standard. So I can export as OPML and then bring that into something like Omni Outliner to further flesh out all of the information. But at least I can get quickly out kind of the main sections and the bullet points and the topics that I want to talk about. And they also have great integration. They have a Mac application and they work with all the cloud services, and they have a new feature I recently started using that is kind of in line with the continuity stuff Apple's doing, where it'll just sync your mind maps between the desktop and iOS. So I can start on my iPad, and then if I want to move back to my Mac, I can pick right back up where I left off. And it's from, I think you pronounce it Toketaware. I threw the link in the chat.
That'll do.
I'm sure you'll have the links up. But great application just for, if you need to kind of get through big topics and you're just trying to sort out all the ideas that might be swimming around in your head, get them down on paper. It's really quick and fast, or on your iPad rather.
Yeah, I use iThoughts for doing like storyboards and stuff.
Yeah, it's great for all kinds of applications, but just anything you need to do to get ideas on into a system, because I've lost I've had stuff like that and not written that stuff down, and you kind of lose the moment. So what's great about it is you can pick up your iPad really quick, just drop a few little ideas, and then you can come back and start to connect them and really flesh it out. So brilliant. It's become a really powerful tool for me.
Very good pick. Jeff, have you got a cool thing for us?
Sure. And my cool thing is an iPhone app that's called Resize Image. And it does exactly what the name says. So it's this cool little application that lets you take images that that you capture with your iPhone, and then you can resize them. So you can change the dimensions, but you can also change the aspect ratio, and you can instead of saying, well, I want my image instead of being 5 inches wide, I want it to be 3 inches wide, you can say, I need this image to be no more than 1 megabyte in size. And then it can resize so that you have an image that fits those parameters as well. And it's a really easy interface. It works really well. And it works with a copy of the images as opposed to the original. So if you screw something up really bad, you have something that you can go back to. And it's free. There are banner ads at the top of the app. Mm. For $2, you can, as an in-app purchase, you can make the ads go away. But as long as you can stomach seeing the little banner ads every now and then, for free, you have a really good image resizing tool on the iPhone.
Excellent. Good choice, mate. Wonderful. If you would like to support the network, we've got a Patreon fund running. And the Patreon fund is at patreon.com/British Tech Network. It's just here in front of me. If you think that the shows that we push out every week for you across the whole network are worth £1, then you can donate £1. You can do £1.68, the $1.68 or whatever it is. Just donate $1, it gives us 60p for our efforts. It all adds up. We're grateful to anyone that can give us anything. If you can give us the tens and the 15s and the $20, which quite a few of you have, thank you very much for that. We do put it to good use. It's helping to do the studio, all the things that we're doing here. It's going to help set up Paul Wheatley's Northern Studio so that we can broadcast video for the Pocket Show and the Gamer Show as well as. So please do check that out, because they'll be well worth it when we get Sam and Chiz on video. Holy crap. There'll be a lot of editing there, I think, first week. patreon.com/British Tech Network. Thank you for everyone who supported us. Now, one of the other things that happens is every month we do a draw. Ian Ross won last month, but I still haven't sent the bag to him because it's down here, because I can't find a box to put it in. So I'm sorting that out, Ian. I promise you, mate. I will send it up to you next week. Anyone who's in the Patreon fund and donates to us gets entered every month into a free prize draw. It's not a lottery, it's a free prize draw. I'm very careful about that. And this month we got MacPool software going out as well as. So we'll draw that on next week's Mac Show. So we'll do that next Thursday, because the Mac Show next week is going to be on Thursday, not Friday. And we've also got two iPad Air covers to give away, because only two people replied and said that they've got iPad Airs. So we're going to get an extra one made, and both of those people are going to get the Ian Lewis Photography iPad Air cover that's a leaf, and it looks stunning. You really ought to think about just buying it off them anyway. But please, patreon.com/British Tech Network. If you've donated already, thank you so much. It makes a huge difference, and it's nice to know that what we've been doing for 5 years is being appreciated by people. It means a huge amount to me. Thank you. Right, Kelly, your turn.
So I have two picks this week. The first is, I'm going to go so far as to say, an American classic, and that's the film The Goonies. It's from 1985. Oh. It was released 29 years ago tomorrow, and it was filmed just over there. So I have been to Mikey's house. I've been to the Goondocks. I've seen it. I've seen all the stuff. I've been to the place where the restaurant was. I've been to the park. I've been to the place where you see the big rock and the pirate ship comes out. Yes, there's a pirate ship. I hope I'm not giving anything away there to people who...
It's 30 years now. I think we can say that the spoiler alerts are fair game.
So I love this movie. I love it so, so much. I loved it then. I still do. There's a... there was a 20th anniversary event in Astoria, Oregon, which is where they filmed it. There was a 25th anniversary event in Astoria, and I went to both of them and had a really great time, and they were a lot of fun, and I love, 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 love this movie. I can't tell you how long it took my mom to convince me there wasn't anything cool in our attic after this movie came out. But it's so much fun, and the thing that I love about it is that it is a fun movie. It's an exciting movie, but like most kids can watch it. Like there's stuff that's entertaining for adults. There's stuff that's entertaining for kids. Like this is actually a family film where now there's a couple bad words. But for the most part, like it's not super mean, and it's not some sort of cartoon, which is what passes for a family film. If it comes out now, it has to be something animated, and it has to be something for kids that usually makes parents want to kill themselves. This is actually a family film. It's really fun. It's really exciting. And I love it so, so much. So that's my pick.
Great.
Since it's not an actual Mac or iOS related thing.
You can get it on the iTunes store. There you go. There it is.
Yeah, you can rent it from iTunes and watch it on whatever thing
Maybe
you want.
Maybe it's not, but it doesn't matter. Batwench in the chat room says, there's rumors they're going to remake The Goonies. I say no.
No.
A sequel.
It's a sequel.
Sequel, right.
They want to make a sequel where the kids from the Goondocks are all grown up. And that's all we know. They want to get the original cast.
It'd be really bad.
Oh, here we go. Sorry, just to tack on from the remake thing. What the f- moment... I read an interview with Carrie, what's her name, Fisher, who was Leia, and she said that she's finding it hard to get back into Star Wars, and she wishes that back in 1977 she hadn't played Princess Leia with a British accent. What?
I'm not surprised.
I want what Carrie Fisher's drinking.
Didn't play it with a British accent.
No, she played
Apparently it with a whole lot
of Coke, if I recall correctly.
That's why she had a British accent then, because she was so high on Coke. That's a rumor, by the way. Carrie, if you're watching, don't sue us.
No, that's not a rumor. She talked about it in her book.
She basically
took all the drugs because they kept putting her on screen, and she said, I wasn't overweight, but any extra I had was all in my cheeks. And so I took all the drugs, and that's why I have cheekbones.
Okay.
So, yeah.
There you go.
She's very upfront about it, and her book is called Wishful Drinking, and it has one of the best book covers I have ever seen in the history of book covers.
Excellent.
And you should check it out. She's a lot of fun.
Greeny, it's your turn.
Ah, brilliant. Okay, so I'm slightly old school, and every meeting I go to, I get out my MacBook or I get out my iPad or whatever to take notes, but everybody else sort of gets out pen and paper continually, and I can sort of see why. I understand it, eh? So I've gone back in time, and now I have into that a Filofax.
So your Apple pick is a Filofax.
Yep, good old proper old school Filofax.
How's that an Apple pick then?
Wait a minute.
Turn this one around. Go on then.
So you can see in the back of my Filofax, I have.
You need to hold it up higher.
Is it a password section? It's a password section.
A picture of Watson.
And yes, I've got that. But that's not the pick.
There's passwords.
I put my phone in this pocket. And this pocket.
Hold it up next to your face, dude. You can't see it. There you go.
There you go. Okay. Right. This pocket you can get from Filofax for about a couple of quid. And the great thing is I put my phone in it. So I've got so this becomes my wallet and my phone and everything else. And this pocket, you think, oh, I have to take the phone out of the pocket. No, you don't. Because the Filofax pockets work with phones. So look, I can switch that on.
Capacitive touch. Oh, cool.
You know what I'm saying? That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the capacitive touch wallets have been around a while, but Filofax picking them up and you having a Filofax, Greeny, is awesome.
Well, it is good, isn't it? I mean, it's
Was that your student union card on the other side?
No, it's my National Union of Journalists. It's my press pass. I love you now.
You're a journalist?
I am.
Holy crap.
So, listen, but another thing, if you're going to do this, if you're going to do it in this route, once it's in your, you know, your thingy, what's it called, wallet or whatever, if you go to settings and enable the, is it called something like accessibility controls?
Accessibility,
like
yeah.
And it bungs on this, like, translucent thing here. So instead of taking my phone out of the wallet, I can press this, then I can press, if you can see it, this devices, and I can lock it like that, taking it out of the pocket.
Jolly good. Very good, mate. I like that. Well done, mate. Good pick. Original.
Cool, wasn't it?
Original, yeah. Mate. I think that very much. Now, I'm guessing that the new boys have worked out that we've got some cool things going on here. So hopefully, if I go to John F. Braun and say, what's your cool thing, John? He'll have an answer.
Let's find out now.
I have one. I have two.
No, you have to do one, mate, because they're going to...
The connection stays... All right, so here are the two that I have and mentioned
one.
These on a prior show. So one is called Packet Peeper. What is it? It is a protocol analyzer. This is a tool that lets you look at network traffic, your traffic, ooh, and if you set it up right, maybe other people's traffic. The nice thing about this compared to some other tools like Wireshark is that this is need X11 or anything like that. It runs on the Mac. And I put a link to that in our IRC room. The second one, which kind of goes hand in hand with it, is a tool called Flame. And it's similar, but instead of letting you look at TCP/IP traffic, it lets you see Bonjour devices. And it's available for both Mac and iOS. So I encourage you, if you want to see what's happening on your network, check those out.
Excellent. Good picks, mate. Nice stuff. And Michael.
Yeah. So I'm going to go a little bit old school. It's a it's something I just got because I decided that I really needed to play Mario Kart, and I don't have my Nintendo 64 with me anymore. And that's the Mario Kart that I grew up with, is the one on Nintendo 64. So I got this thing. It's the Mayflash Nintendo 64 USB adapter.
Mm-hmm.
Because originally there's this really neat app called Joypad Legacy for iOS devices. It hasn't been updated in a while, so it still is down at the 3.5-inch screen size. So it's a little bit smaller on my iPhone 5, but it works okay. But at the same time, you know, playing around Nintendo 64 with all touch controls, it means you have to kind of do weird things with your hands, and you also slide your finger off the button, and you wonder why you're not going right anymore. So the Mayflash works, I found, the hard way, only with official first party Nintendo branded controllers. I bought some third party ones from the local used game shop and found out that it didn't work correctly. But you know, once you get the right stuff together, I use 64ce as my emulator. And it's great. It's lots of fun playing Nintendo 64. The emulator, depending on which one you have, will work with certain games. 64ce works perfectly with Mario Kart. And this thing has two spots on it for controllers, unfortunately. Although it says it works with two, 64ce does not. So I use Project 64 along with Crossover. I believe that's what it is. The Codeweavers thing, but right. You can also use something else, or if you're just one person, 64ce works great, but it's a lot of fun and it works great.
You're gonna make me get out my N64 now. Thanks.
We love that.
I have mine somewhere still.
My cool thing is
Mario Kart.
The Bridge keyboard. This is spelt B R Y D G E, and the Bridge Pro is this thing here, and it's meant to make your iPad look like a little tiny MacBook. How cool is that?
Cool.
Now then, you're sitting thinking, well, okay, it's just a keyboard cover. Well, it is, but it's cast out of a single piece of unicorn horn. No, I'm joking, aluminium. And it is rather nice. It's got a lovely feel to it. It feels exactly like the back of my iPad 3 here that I've used it with. The other thing that's cool with it, I don't know if you can see close up there, it's got a speaker in it. So what you do is you pair the keyboard via Bluetooth, but then you pair the speaker component via Bluetooth as well, and you've got what actually is a superb sounding little speaker. And it is rather quite loud. It's not brilliant. You're not going to fill an auditorium with it or anything, but if you've got a group of you around a table, it's big enough and loud enough to pump a party. There you go. So the one thing I'll say that's a negative is that it doesn't hold the Bluetooth connection with the speakers. It only holds the Bluetooth connection with the keyboard. So when you open it up and start it up, you have to repair and reconnect the keyboard, but reconnect the speakers. But talking to Nick at the place that Bridge that does this, he said that's because otherwise it eats your battery up, and there's nothing we can do about that because it's just the sheer nature of it all. So it's good. It comes in all of the iPads, as far as I'm aware. I've got it on an iPad 3 here, And I carried it around last week, and I'm going to type my review on it, because you've got to type reviews of keyboards on the keyboard, otherwise it doesn't count. And there you go. But it's rather nice, and it's $99 this weekend for Father's Day. So I have to put the show up tonight, otherwise no one's going to be able to buy one for their dad.
They have, and people should know there's a speakerless version, so you're recommending the speakered one, right?
I've got the speakered one to review, and it's very good, I can say.
And the speakerless is $79 on the site. But they also have this rescue pack little thing here that looks glorious. So I think it's really neat.
Well, I'll see if I can get some more review units off them, and then we'll review them and we'll put them up, or we'll send them to Righty and Righty can review them. That's me. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Maccast?
Well, that would be easy. Maccast.com, Maccast on iTunes, and Maccast pretty much everywhere else. Twitter, Facebook is the Maccast, I guess.
I mentioned you on Google Plus today, just to piss you off.
You mentioned me on Google Plus?
Yeah, because then you get an email that says I mentioned you on Google Plus, and you have to log in to find out what I said about you, and all I said was you were coming on the show. Oh, yeah, damn, I've given
Google
it away. Plus.
The problem is Google hasn't given me a freaking short URL yet, so you got to search Maccast on Google Plus, yeah.
Oh, bad luck. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I'm hiding out over at the Mac Observer, which is macobserver.com, and on a bunch of podcasts. Hey, I started a new podcast called TMO Daily Observations, and Kelly's been on a couple times.
I have.
And yeah, so check that out, too. And Fresh Brewed Tales, where I talk about all the ridiculously stupid things that I see people do in coffee shops.
Excellent. Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso, and I too hang out at Mac Observer with the cool kids. And as Jeff mentioned, I've been on the Daily Observation podcast a couple of times, and you can find me over hosting the Tuaw Talkcast at tuaw.com for the unofficial Apple weblog.
Thank you. Greeny.
Probably the easiest is British Mac, or my Twitter is British Mac as well, I suppose.
And you've got your bash ticket.
Yes, I have. Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
And you're coming to the curry, aren't you?
Yeah, trying to taste your curry and see if it is as good as my local, and B, looking forward to the day. I'm going to bring my family with me, if that's okay.
Wife and kids, No, it's a family too, mate. It's a family do. Don't worry about it. We're fine.
Brilliant.
Mr. Braun, where are you?
I'm all over the place, but I'll give you a couple of data points here. So I do this thing called the Mac Geek Gab podcast, along with Dave Hamilton, and that's at MacGeekGab.com. You can join us when we have our show and also see our schedule. That's at MacGeekGab.com/stream. We don't do video, but we do chat and audio stream. On the Twitters, I am John F. Braun, and on Twitter, the podcast is MacGeekGab. And where else? And, well, one other place, Facebook.com/MacGeekGab, if you want to...
Excellent. Good man.
The show.
Michael, where are you?
So my podcast is formerly known as We Have Communicators. So I'm still at wehavecommunicators.com. We talk about all things iOS, and I like to say and beyond. We've actually changed the show name to the iOS show.
Well,
the last couple of weeks. So now, the URL is there, theiOSshow.com, but it's not completely set up, so wehavecommunicators.com is where you can find it. Or you can search in iTunes for the iOS show. And you can also find me on Appler, the social app discovery social network. It's GETAPPLR.com. We drop the vowel at the end. And you can see all the apps that I use, all the ones that Jeff Gamet and Adam Christensen and Kelly and tons of other people use. Follow your friends.
Cool. I just wanted to say as well, while you're all on, because I know that the three of you are on here on the We Have Controller / iOS show. Thank you very much for asking if you could use the name. I'm very flattered that you did, and of course you can, because we don't use it anymore. But when you do go to iTunes, you might find a few of our old episodes from the iOS show, which is now the Pocket show on here. So we've done a whole switch around thing, and I just wanted to caution the three of you: watch out for the complete and utter tosspot that is some of the bloke who reckons he owns the iOS show. He hasn't published a podcast since frigging 2009, but he's gonna threaten you with a DMCA takedown, I promise you.
Is it the Australian guys?
I don't know. He, there's He's written to everyone now and he's given up. But when we first started the iOS show, I got a letter off him saying he was going to issue a DMCA takedown notice. I said, look, right, number one, you don't own iOS. Number two, it's a title. You can't copyright a title, you dickhead. Piss off. And I haven't heard from him since and I never got a notice. So, but you're going to get one.
I look forward to it.
I'll find it in full. You'll enjoy it. We'll be back again next week as normal. It'll be Thursday, though, not Friday. So it won't be normal completely. It'll be partly normal. So Thursday, 3 o'clock, here with the Mac Show. I hope there's some news. Don't think there will be. See you next week. Bye.